time, I expected the Lord to come in the year 2011. He did not come. When He comes, He's going to be right on time. Not one day late. Not one day early. Since He didn't come last year, I expect Him to come this year. You say, well, Brother Jones, that's easy to say each year. When I see what is happening around the world and all that is taking place in the religious world and the secular world, things are winding down, and I don't know how much longer the Lord will let things go before that trumpet sounds, but I want everyone to stay in tune with heaven, and when that shout goes out and the trumpet sounds, be ready to go. Be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. Thank you for coming today. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. I'm going to be reading from Joshua chapter number 3. Joshua chapter number 3. Beginning with the first verse. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. I'm going to conclude the reading there for right now. Keep your Bibles handy. But I want you to see the picture, if I may. I want you to see that the children of Israel have come out of Egyptian bondage. They have crossed the Red Sea with the great miracle of God rolling the waters back. They have come across the wilderness 40 long years in that dry, howling wilderness. God has supplied every need of their lives, given them manna to eat and water to drink and raiment upon their backs and met every need that they had. And now they are camped just over there, near the Jordan. And on the other side is Israel, or Canaan land, and Jericho. And the Bible says that while they have arrived there, there's a new land just on the other side. And now God is telling Joshua to give the people instructions as to how they're to live and what they're to do when they get on the other side, when they get in the promised land, when they get over there in the land that I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the way you're to live. And then he says in that fourth verse, you've not passed this way heretofore. You've never been this way. Again, I'm going to use an illustration. They've come out of Egypt. They've come across the wilderness. They've arrived, let's say right here, at the borders of the Jordan River, at the borders of Canaan land. They're camped here. Joshua is saying, God has spoken and saying, why, a certain moment, a certain time, the priests and the Levites are going to lead the way, and the priests are going to have the Ark of the Covenant. They're going down into the Jordan River, and I'm going to roll the waters back. God, roll the waters back, but the priests are going down in the Jordan River. And after they get there, put so much space between you and the priest and the Ark of the Covenant, and then you follow over into Canaan's land. Because when you get there, you've never seen this land before. You've never been there before. The bulk of your people, you don't know much about the land, but when you get there, this is how you live. This is part I want to preach. You've never been this way before. You've never lived in this land before. You're slaves that's been brought out of bondage. You've never known about liberty and happiness and joy. You've never been this way before. And let me share with you this morning, as we begin the new year, we've never been this way before. This is a new day. This is a new year. I jotted some things down as I was preparing the sermon. We don't know what the future will hold. We don't know about tomorrow. I cannot tell you what's going to happen this week. I don't know. The songwriter said, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. It's a time when some will be looking back and see the failures and the faltering that they had. How did they fail God, or how they let down here, or how they did this, or how they did that. And they prayed in their hearts, no doubt already, God, help me as I begin the new year. Help me that my dreams and my desires or whatever, my longings will come to pass. Oh God, I'm praying and I'm hoping that the new year will be better than the last. Amen. Somehow, God, revival will be ours in the new year. And we've resolved in our hearts, in our lives, we're going to do all that we can to make it so. There'll be improvement in our lives. I like the song of our hymn book that says, I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is a true one. He is a just one. He hath the words of life. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith. Do what He willeth. He is the living way. And I thought if we as individuals and as we as a church, if we will take the words of that verse, that course, into mind, if we will go where the Lord would have us to go, and if we'll do what the Lord would have us to do, if we would heed the sayings of the Lord Jesus, and be what He wants us to be, brother, we'll have a good year. Thank God, thank God. I would like to preach this morning of three individuals in the Bible that made a resolution. Now, I want to stop here. If you've made some resolutions, that's between you and God. If you haven't made any resolutions, that's between you and God. I'm not here to tell you that you ought to make some, or you ought not. That's between you and God. But I want to share some in the Bible that made some resolutions. I'm going to turn to the 119th Psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible. Turn there with me, if you will. The longest chapter in the Bible, the 119th Psalm. In the 15th and 16th verses, the psalmist said, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Let me just change a word or two. I am resolved to meditate in thy presence. I am resolved to delight myself in thy statutes. I am resolved not to forget thy word. When the psalmist said, I will do these things, first of all, a threefold resolution that the psalmist made. I will meditate in thy precepts. I want to say something to begin with. I looked up the word about this, about meditating. It means more than just scanning the word. It means something about getting a hold of and thinking about, giving some thought to, spending some time with, and consider something. I say, partly right into the psalmist said, I'm resolved to meditate upon the things of God. I will spend some time with the Almighty God. Brother, if you want a happy year, spend some time with the Lord. I will meditate upon the precepts of the Almighty God. I'm resolved, and I thought just as He was resolved to keep the precepts, to commit Himself to the Almighty God. I am resolved this morning, whatever God would have me to do, wherever He would have me to go, whatever He would have me to say, God, help me to be just what You want me to be. My words, my thoughts. He's saying to study, to digest the Word of God. It's more than just reading the Scriptures. I will meditate upon the precepts of the Almighty God. I will think upon these things. I thought as a youngster, isn't it amazing how when you begin to think, some things come to your mind way back yonder. I don't know about you, sometimes I have gotten up out of my seat, gone into the kitchen or the bedroom or somewhere to get something, got there and didn't know what I was there for. If you haven't done that yet, just live another year or two. My mother was the youth director for a while in the church when we were raised, and we were a lot of us youngsters, and we were to memorize the last verse of the 19th chapter of the book of Psalms. And we memorized it in the close of every youth service. We would quote it together. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. May I meditate on the things of God. May my mind be fixed on the things of God. May all that my life will be wrapped up in the Almighty God. And so the psalmist said, I will meditate upon thy precepts. The second thing he said, I will delight myself in thy statutes, in thy commandments. And I say, amen. In a sense, and I hope you'll understand this, this Bible, in one sense of the word, is a love letter to mankind. It's full of promises. Now, some of you men, we're not going to have any show of hands. When you were courting, dating, wooing, whatever you were doing, and you wrote a letter, I don't know what you said, but I can imagine some things. And as you read the Bible, you find it's a letter, a love letter from God, and He promises us. And there's blessings. And there's happiness. And the more you read it, well, you fall in love more and more. I don't know about you, but I got some love letters. Some people keep them. Not me. They are for my eyes only. When my eyes are finished with them, they're gone. But I don't know what you did, but I did this. I would read it and put it down. I'd pick it up and read it, put it down. I'd even read it a third time. Anybody here ever read a love letter four times? I'm like T.L. Melton. He said, if a sermon is worth preaching one time, it's worth preaching it twice. If a love letter's got anything in there worth anything, it's worth reading it again. He says, I will meditate upon thy precepts. And then he goes on to say in that second part, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I'd like to think today, listen, a lot of people have the idea that the Word of God or the commandments of God are hard and they're drudgery and it's hard to read. How will you know the psalmist said, I will delight myself in thy precepts. I will delight myself in the things of God. I will be delighted to hear what God has to say. I helped memorize the first chapter of Psalms as well when I was a young boy. But the second verse says, talking about the same man, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I did not memorize that verse. I rememberized the sixth verse, but I like that verse as well. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I've not found anything that I love reading more than I love to read the Bible. Let me say that again. I haven't found anything that I love reading more than I love to read the Bible. I delight in the statutes of my God. And I found out that the more you love God, the easier it is to delight in what He has to say. What a Savior. I will meditate on thy precepts, I will delight myself in thy statutes. And then he says, thirdly, I will not forget thy word. Those of you that have been a part of Abundant Life Tabernacle for any time, you know that there is one thing that I have said often, and I don't want to beat a whatever, I don't know the saying now, I don't want to overdo something, but I hope that everyone will understand where I'm coming from today. It's my desire for everyone to become a student of the Bible. I will not forget thy word. Not only will I read it, the psalmist is saying, Not only will I have it in my daily devotion, not only will I fill my soul up, but my entire being with it. I will feast on it. I will digest it. I will love it. I will live by it. Hallelujah. Whatever comes my way, I will have it engraved upon the tables in my heart. I want the Word of God to fill my very life. And I want everything that God says to me, I want to obey it. You can't find anything in the world like the Bible. It's powerful. Sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word of God will not return void, the Bible says. God's Word is powerful. It will accomplish that which He sent it to do. What a Savior. What a mighty God. I will not forget Thy Word. Again, let me say, we do not know what the new year might bring. I don't know what tomorrow might hold. I don't know what my life will hold for my wife and I in the year 2012. We do not know. But let me say something right here before I go on. Whatever might come our way, if it's difficulty or hardship or sickness or trials or troubles or whatever, one thing that I do know, the Word of God will sustain us. He'll be there with us. Hallelujah. We can stand on the Word. Why don't everybody say amen? Amen. Our Congress will fail. Our President will let us down. Our Governor will fail. Our Mayor will let us down. Friends will let you down. Family members will let you down. But He will never fail. For the Savior, I will not forget Thy Word. Did you know when, having been in the ministry this long and been with many at the time of death and then was told what the last words were and what have you. Isn't it amazing when people that love God and live the life, when they come down to the end, they come down to the Jordan, to cross Jordan. They don't have to cross alone. When I say Jordan, that's a type of death. When you come down to death, isn't it good that the Lord is right there? Some people have left a testimony and some have I've heard. As they were, their breath was leaving their body and their last song or the last testimony, how that they were giving praise to God. The psalmist said, I will not forget Thy Word. And I'm saying this before I go on today. I might forget everything else, but I don't want to forget the Word, because the Word has changed my life. I don't want to forget it. Secondly, in the 28th chapter of Genesis, there's a story of a man by the name of Jacob. I'm not going to have you turn there. Story of a man by the name of Jacob. The Bible says he has defrauded his brother. He has taken his brother's birthright, his blessing. And now because his brother Esau is upset at him and has promised to kill Jacob, Jacob flees. He runs for his life. He leaves the southern part of Israel and makes his way to Syria in the north, to visit Uncle Laban. And when he comes to a place called Bethel, he spends the night. You know the story. How that he finds a stone and makes the stone as a pillar. And he dreams a dream that night, and in the dream he sees angels ascending into the heavens and descending. And he saw the glory of God, the angelic beings, and he realized that God was there. And this is what he said. As he made a vow in the morning, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then, and he makes a resolution, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shall give me, will I surely give the tenth unto thee. Jacob made a resolution. God, if you'll go with me, give me something to eat and clothes to wear and bring me back to my father's house in peace, I will make this the house of God. I will serve you, I will love you, and I will tithe. Now somebody said, Brother Jones, why preach that on a Sunday morning? The first Sunday. Why preach that? Because I want you to have a good year. If you miss out on this, you're going to miss out on a lot of the year. Somebody said, well, Brother Jones, that's the law. Tithing is the law. Jacob lived before the law. Somebody said, well, Abraham began it when he paid tithes to Melchizedek. I believe this. I believe God had a plan before He made Adam and Eve. And I believe that plan was, with all the other, that man that God made would tithe. God said something like this. If you will give me my part, a tithe, I will take the rest, 90%, and I will bless it in such a manner that you will not even be able to understand where it all came from. And so I believe that tithing began with Adam and Eve. I know that Abraham tithed, and Isaac, and Jacob. And then we find that it continued with them, and it goes on to Malachi, and Malachi, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, commanded that they tithe. And then Jesus taught the same thing, tithing. Here I am 2,000 years later, and I'm teaching the very same thing, because I know it works. And here is Jacob saying, God, if you bring me back home, if you'll take care of me and give me something to eat and raiment to wear and bring me back safely to my father's house and in peace, well, I make a resolution, I make a vow. I will make this the house of God and I will tithe. And if you know anything about Jacob, when he stayed away 20 years and came back, what he left home with, now I want you to see a picture. When Jacob left home to go to visit his uncle in Syria, he was coming from southern Israel, going to north of Israel in Syria, to Padan Aram. I don't believe he had two great big suitcases. Imagine he had what he had on his back and maybe a knapsack and maybe a little money that his dad had given him and he's on his way. Had very little, maybe, of this world's goods. And when he left 20 years later, you can't even imagine what he had. Why, he sent a gift to his brother that's out of this world. Camels and asses and sheep and all the rest, just to say, brother, I'm sorry that I did you wrong, and if you'll just accept this as a peace offering. He said, I've got a penny myself. But he said, go ahead and take it. Jacob said, go ahead and take it. God's blessed me abundantly. Listen, I believe this with all of my heart. People that obey God with all that God says, God will bless them beyond anything they can imagine. Beyond anything they can imagine. And the Bible tells me that Jacob became a promised God that he would tithe. And he obeyed God, and God's plan was real in his life. And it's still God's plan for man today. Now I'll give a word of exhortation, a word of encouragement, if I may, right here on this first Sunday of the new year of 2012. I mentioned earlier the possibility of this year having some terrible and troublous times. I don't know how our economy is going. Our president, and I'm not here to throw off on our president, but our president right now is trying to get his way, working out his way to be reelected. And he's made a statement this past week, I am not even going to identify with the Congress this last year. My desire is to be reelected. Listen closely. We have a Congress that has failed. A president has failed. A trouble around the world. Iran today is talking about shutting down the Straits of Hormuz. And the world are sitting on a pile of cake. Listen, the only thing that we can stand on is the Word of God. If you stand on the Word, it will never fail. Hallelujah. There might be troubles in 2012. We might go to war again. I am not here. I'm not here to tell you anything maybe new, but we pulled our troops out of Iraq. I hope that everything goes well. Right now in Afghanistan and Pakistan, we're having trouble. Iran, next right there between them, we're having trouble. Trouble in the Middle East and Israel. Everywhere you look, there's trouble. Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel said, if no one else will do it, we will. We will take out the nuclear possibilities out of Iran. If they do, there'll be another war. If they don't, guess what? There'll be another war. We're headed for difficulty. I don't know what this year is going to bring. But one thing I do know, if we will obey God's Word and stay in the Word of God, His Word is going to stand the test of the ages. He will sustain us. Said, Brother Jones, does that mean that if we'll serve God that we'll not have any trouble? No. Some of us might be put to death. Plenty of people have been. I don't know what the future holds. But I want everyone to know the Word of God will sustain us. If anybody, everyone fails you, stand on the Word. It will never fail. The psalmist in the 119th Psalm said, I will meditate upon thy precepts. I will delight in thy statutes. I will keep thy word. Jacob said, I will tithe. And I'll just give an illustration and I'm going to the third part of the sermon. And I've told you this before, but it blesses my heart. I was a staff sergeant in the service, had been in the service 7 years. 6 years when we got married, 7 years when we got saved. I made a better salary than some of the boys in the church. Many of them were just on the first hitch. But we got paid once a month and we didn't really know how to stretch the funds. There would come a time in the last week of the month, although I made enough money to live on and had a nice home and trailer house and everything was nice, but sometimes at the end of the month we didn't have enough. And I told you this, I would take a AM/FM radio or an electric razor that I didn't use or something else, and I would take it to the pawn shop and get $10 or something to hold us over. My wife and I got saved the same night. And when we got saved, having been raised in the Christian church, in a Christian home, knew the Bible, had watched God blessing our families, we resolved the night we got saved to tithe. Didn't wait till next Sunday. Went home, got the checkbook, wrote a check, took it back to the church. The church is dark. We took it to the parsonage next door and gave our tithe to the pastor to put in the church. That was February 1955. And if I know the records this morning, my tithing record is paid up to date to right now. Having tithed for 56 years. What are you saying, preacher? We haven't always had everything that others had. We've had all that we've ever needed. I thought it one time, because being in the ministry and paying no income tax and didn't have Social Security at that time, I was on my own. We are self-employed as a minister. I thought when my time comes to retire, I will have nothing. And I found out that I've had more than I'd ever imagined. I'm not a wealthy man with this world's goods, but I'm richer than a millionaire. My father owns it all. And I'm his son. And God is blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. I can tell you story after story after story how that God has met the need because we obeyed God. And I'm not going to try to tell any others right now, but listen to this, if you will. You obey God, and whatever happens in 2012, His Word will sustain you. His Word will see you through. His Word will be there, and you can stand on it. Then I want to read one other scripture, one other thought, and I want you to turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter number 1. Daniel, chapter number 1. He's a teenager. He's been taken into captivity as a young man, young boy. He's away from his family, away from his friends, away from the church. Notice in the 8th verse of the first chapter of Daniel. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel made a resolution. He made a vow that he would not be like the others. He would be different. He would not defile himself with the things of this world. That he would serve God and obey God regardless of what others did. Let me leave this with you this morning. And I'm going to hurry along right here. Stay with me. Here's a young man in his teens, no doubt. Maybe 16 or 17. Taken with some of his friends out of Egypt, out of Jerusalem, into Babylon, into captivity. Away from mom and daddy. Away from the spiritual influence of the church. Away from the religious training that he had as a Jewish young man. Away from all of that, and now he's placed in a new surroundings in yonder in Babylon with the ungodly and idol worship and all the rest. And the Bible says he declared in his heart, he made a vow, he resolved that I will not let the people cause me to be like this. I will be different. God give us young people. Bless you, Missy. As the youth director and Shelley as the assistant, bless you real good. In the youth work, God bless you good. Give us young people that have a backbone that will stand up for what is right. Don't go with the crowd. Don't run with the crowd. Don't go along to get along. Stand up if you have to stand by yourself. If you stand for God, He'll stand with you. Daniel declared, made a vow in his heart, I will be different. I will not allow them to put me in their mold. I will not allow the leaders of Babylon to cause me to conform to their ways. He determined in his heart, I will not eat the meat that the king eats because it's been offered to idols. I will not drink the wine that the king drinks because the Bible says wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. He determined in his heart he's not going to be a part of the world system. And finally, Daniel has made up his mind not only the two things that I've just mentioned, but he makes up his mind, I'm resolved to live holy. He resolved to live differently. He resolved to be not like the world, but he's resolved to live holy. Regardless of what the others did, he had made up his mind, made a vow, a resolution, holy. I'm going to close out this first Sunday of the year. Holiness is God's will for every believer. Some people say, Brother Jones, I wasn't raised in a holiness church. But if you go to heaven, you'll go to a holy heaven. Holiness is a life of freedom, a life of liberty, a life of happiness. I have been accused of being a legalist. Now, because I preach that some things are wrong, and some things that we ought to do, and some things we ought not to do, I'm a legalist. So I want to clarify something today. You can do all that this Bible says that is right outwardly and miss heaven. Holiness is a life of freedom, a life of happiness, a life of liberty. No longer bondage, no longer guilt, no longer condemnation. When I got saved, my wife and I, when we got saved, brother, we walked out of bondage into liberty. Somebody said, Brother Jones, in the Holiness Church, you can't do this, you can't do this. Yes, you can. You do whatever you want to do. When your heart is right, you just want to do what's right. Nobody has to stand over me and tell me, Glenn, you better not do that. Or you can't do this. I can do anything I want to do. And I tell you what I want to do. I want to serve God. I want to love Him with all of my heart. I found liberty when I found Jesus. I found joy in the Holy Ghost. I found peace like a river. Hallelujah. I can go to bed at night. I can go to bed at night, and sometimes my wife accuses me, I can go to sleep in less than a half a minute. She can be talking to me and me answering her, and I go to sleep. And And then as you get older, you'll find this out. You can wake up mighty easily at the chirping of a bird down the road. What do you say? Daniel said, I've made up my mind. I'm not going to let the world cause me to miss heaven. If my friends decide to go a different way, I'm going to go with God. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to live holy. And I'm closing, and we're going to sing more of you this morning, honey. Number 100 and something, 15. I'm going to leave this with you first Sunday, everybody. And the psalmist in the 119th Psalm said, I've made up my mind. I'm going to meditate on the precepts of God. I am going to delight myself in the statutes of God. I am going to serve the Lord and be what He wants me to be. I am going to hide His Word in my heart. If I can get this church to do this year, fall in love with this. Fall in love with this. I've got an article. I believe that Carol got it off the computer and Danny brought it, and I'm going to read it. Maybe tonight, maybe another time, about the Bible and your cell phone. The Bible and your cell phone. Now, if you've got a cell phone, that's all right. There's nothing in the Bible against that. But I'm going to read. That's tremendous. I read it again yesterday. But I'll leave this with you. If you'll fall in love with this and obey this, what I've just preached, Daniel said, I will love the Lord. I will love His Word. The psalmist said that. I will love His Word. Jacob said, I will tithe. And now Daniel says, I will never allow this world to hem me in their path. I'm going to serve God. If you'll obey this, I'm going to promise you something. Come on to the piano, honey. I'm going to promise you something this first Sunday. If you will live in this, love this, obey this, I can promise you a peaceful life in the midst of turmoil. I can promise you happiness in your soul when this world is going through its most darkest hour. I can promise you a home in heaven if you'll go by this. I'll promise you joy like the world never knows. I promise you that if you'll get in this book and stay in this book and obey it, obey it. Make a vow. You said, Brother Jones, I don't believe in resolution. Make a vow this morning you're going to serve God with all of your heart. And God will bless you abundantly beyond anything you can imagine. Will you stand together with me? We're going to sing more of you, more of you. Was it 115?
Yeah.
115 in the court.